Blog Talk Radio.
It's Monday, May 16th, 2016, and this is Monday Morning Devotionals, show number 2.
The age of delusion is here. The great falling away has begun. False teachers and false gospels are everywhere. The angel of light has become so visible in today's apostate church that even false Bibles have made their way into mainstream Christianity. The Bible warns that on Judgment Day, Jesus will say to the many, "I never knew you." This program exists to make sure that when Jesus says that, not talking to you.
God Thoughts Radio is on the air. I'm Pastor Brad. I want to begin our devotional today by asking you the question, is it a lack of faith to pray if the Lord wills? You know, this is a big question in the body of Christ today because there's an ever-increasingly number of folks, especially in charismatic and Pentecostal circles, that believe that it's God's will for everybody to be healed all the time, and therefore it is a lack of faith to pray within the context of if the Lord wills. Do this or that. And I'm not going to address that subject directly about healing. I did an entire show on healing called Is It God's Will for You to Be Healed? But I want to address this issue of is it a lack of faith to pray if the Lord wills? We are in the book of Mark, and I'm in chapter 1, and I want to read for you verse 40 through 42. And it says that a leper came to him, that is, a leper came to Jesus, beseeching him, falling on his knees before him, and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And verse 41, moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. So let's break this down. This is what the scripture actually says. In this particular story, there is a leper who comes to Jesus, falls on his knees, and says to Jesus, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." And so the question is, what kind of a request is that? Is that a biblically accurate, or shall I say, is that what a follower of Christ should do? Should he have said, "Make me clean. I know it's your will to be healed," but rather he says, "If you're willing." And the big key here is, of course, how did Jesus respond? Well, Jesus' response seems to be pretty much all positive. I'm saying tongue-in-cheek. It seems to be overwhelmingly positive. It says he was moved with compassion. And the bottom line is, Jesus said, "I am willing." And then he heals him. So what's happening here? The leper prays, "If you're willing." And then Jesus affirms that he is. And then he winds up healed. So whatever level of faith the man had, it wound up enough to be healed. I would suggest the man had perfect faith. He knew that Jesus could heal him. He just didn't know if it was his will to heal him. And then, and as I mentioned in the broadcast, is it God's will for you to be healed? The Bible is clear that it's not always God's will for everybody to be healed all the time. Again, I would point you to that episode. But it's interesting that Jesus says, "I am willing," and I find it fascinating what Jesus didn't say. He did not say, "If I'm willing, I'm always willing," or, "Of course, I'm always willing." The fact that he said, "I am willing," would seem to indicate that he's not always willing. He affirms the man's prayer request. And then, of course, immediately he's healed. And I want to suggest to you that this is absolutely consistent in the Bible. And, of course, the big challenge for a follower of Christ is to be like Christ. That is the goal of sanctification. That is the process by which we are sanctified, becoming ever increasingly more like Christ. And so what does that look like when it comes to this subject of God's will? You know, was actually doing exactly what Jesus modeled in Luke chapter 22. I want to take you there right now. In Luke 22, picking up at verse 39, they come to the Mount of Olives. Jesus is agonizing over the forthcoming crucifixion and subsequent separation from his heavenly Father as he's about to take on the sins of the world. And in verse 39 of Luke 22, we pick it up. He came out and proceeded as was his custom to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples also followed him. And when he arrived at that place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray. And Jesus, in Luke 22:42, said, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, but not my will, but thine be done." Wow. Jesus, fully God, fully man, but he has laid his attributes of God aside to live on the earth as a man. And here we see clearly he has a will that is different from the Father's will. He says to the Father, he cries out, "If you're willing, remove this cup from me. Father, is there any way to get out of this? If there is, I want to get out of it." But he says ultimately, "Not my will, but yours be done." I want to suggest to you that biblically, pray within the parameters of God's will, to pray your will be done, to pray if it be your will, is not a lack of faith. It is an expression of faith. It is the attitude of Jesus. To be like Jesus, to get to know Jesus and represent him, is to pray if it be your will. You see, we don't always know what God's will is. God's will are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. When it comes to healing, if you take John chapter 9, for example, the man that was born blind, if the apostles had come to him early on as a boy and demanded that God heal him because it was God's will that God heals everybody of everything all the time, they would have been, their efforts would have been thwarted because it wasn't God's timing for that man to be healed. And so it goes. The model of Jesus is absolutely to pray if it be your will. In fact, in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Not my will, it's God's will that is what Jesus is all about. And in fact, to go even further, to belabor this point even more, I want to take you to James chapter 4, 15 and 17, where the scripture gives a harsh rebuke to those that make an assumption that what they're doing is God's will. For those who are presumptuous in their belief that whatever they are doing must be the will of God. "Come now, you who say," this is James 4, verse 13 and following, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we shall go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit, yet you don't know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say," note the language, "instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that." Brothers and sisters, to believe that it's a lack of faith or inappropriate or somehow unbiblical to pray if the Lord wills, that is actually the spirit of the Antichrist. That is an anti-Jesus, anti-Christ spirit, because the Bible says you ought to say, if the Lord wills. Are you listening to me? Will you get this message out, please? This is the way we can rebuke the thief. Rebuke the enemy, the lying spirit that is in this age, is a part of the age of delusion. My goodness, so important. The Bible says you ought to pray if the Lord wills in all things. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance and all such boasting. Do you realize the TV evangelists and preachers and teachers and folks that preach that God wants to heal everybody of everything all the time, the Bible calls that arrogance that needs to be repented of. You know, we need go no further than to look at the life of Jesus and understand exactly how he rolled. Because there in the Garden of Gethsemane, that was not a one-time deal with Jesus praying to his Father. If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. That's the way Jesus rolled his entire life. In fact, in John 17:4, we see his prayer to his Father again, and he says, I glorified you on the earth. How? Having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Dear listener, be reminded that the Bible teaches that God knows the plans he has concerning you. That's Jeremiah 29:11. And concerning those plans, the Bible says, Proverbs 16:3, commit your works to the Lord, and those plans will be established. Because, Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand. Not you do them and ask God to bless them. He prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. That's the way that God is glorified. And by the way, be reminded, that's why we're here. That's why we've been created, to bring glory to the Lord on this earth. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. Jesus lived this way his entire life. John 5:19, Jesus said, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. John 5:30, I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Can it get any clearer, dear listener? Can it get any clearer? Can the Bible be more clear in its teaching? Jesus never sought his own will. He always sought the Father's will. John 6:38, for I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And this becomes, my friend, the essence of our relationship with Jesus. This becomes the defining element of a saving relationship with Jesus. Precisely why in Matthew 7:21 he said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. You see, the heaven is only occupied by people who submit to the will of God. There are no people in heaven who do their own thing, go their own way. You see, it's as C.S. Lewis described in closing, and I'll just paraphrase and put my own spin on it. When all is said and done, the bottom line is that in the end, there are only two kinds of people, and I want to limit my comments here, two kinds of people in the church today. When all is said and done, there are only two kinds of people in the church today. There is the vast minority, and that minority says that minority is exemplified by those who deny themselves and follow Jesus. They, like Jesus, say, not my will, but yours be done. But then, of course, there is the majority, and the majority has the loudest voice in the church today, the professing church. The majority are those who profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him. Because ultimately those are the ones, the majority, the vast majority, they are the ones who ultimately say, not your will, God, but my will be done.
Thanks so much for joining us today at God Thoughts Radio. For more information about Pastor Brad and God Thoughts, go to GodThoughtsGlobal.com, where you'll also find archives from all of our past shows. Pastor Brad would love to speak at your church. You can contact him via email at GodThoughtsWired@gmail.com or connect with him on LinkedIn at Dr. Brad Righteous. Until next time, thanks for listening.